speaking for the board of directors as well as for myself. If you insist in times like these on cutting the fees of the board of directors, then we resign.
Speaking for Madame Collet as well as for myself, resign.
Very well. We'll think it over, Monsieur Laval.
So hi and welcome. This is us attempting once again to dive into the world of Ernst Lubitsch. As we're going to now be talking about his 1932 outing with Miriam Hopkins, Kay Francis, and Herbert Marshall, Trouble in Paradise. The film follows a pair of world-class thieves who then decide to take a mark on this young rich baroness, count, what, I don't know what her title is. And
stop it.
It becomes once again another love triangle as these guys keep laughing at me. I
no,
don't know why.
You.
It's not you, Andres. It's not you. It's this shitty ass movie. Yeah.
Shaking her
at the wallet drops out.
Wallet drops out.
So, all right, guys.
Yes.
I want to start this one off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This movie. This feels good to me. I'm honest, I actually really enjoy this movie. Right? I mean, herein lies the weird part. If I'm ranking them, like Shop is up high, what we saw last week, Download Design for Living, this one is somewhere in between, closer to Shop than it is to Design for Living. But what's in there is kind of fantastic. Right? You guys were talking about the shaking. There are so many ridiculous physical things in this movie that I can't help but love it. And it has all of that wit and banter that I loved from Shop Around the Corner. From the opening of this movie, where you have the main guy, the thief, Gaston, being introduced through this crazy camera swooping around, to then seeing him with the waiter where he ends it off, the conversation with, and you, I don't want to see ever at all, right? The wine should be cold, the food should be hot, and you should be nowhere to be found. And I love that kind of thing. The only thing that I'd say really badly about this movie is, and I feel that it has to be said, even though I kind of liked her in the last one, Design for Living, Miriam Hopkins kind of got on my nerves, the smaller part that she had in this movie versus last one. I was so engrossed with the relationship of Gaston and the Countess, who are having this weird love relationship where you know that they're pushing it, where by the end of the movie, she's like, look, I know I've got you around my finger. And at the same time, you know, he's there initially to rob her. And even though, like, watching this movie, you know where it's going to go. It's nothing is too surprising about it, obviously, because these are tropes that have been cemented from then to now, that we've seen in 1,000 movies. But just the execution of all of it, and it was just great. I liked it a lot. And what I even liked more than Shop Around the Corner about this movie was I liked how much I felt Lubitsch kind of creating, like, just interesting visual moments in this movie. The opening scene where you just see the feet on the ground, and it's one of those great things that you see in some of these old movies where they're quietly kind of showing you what's happening without having it take up the entire frame in a close-up of a guy's face just being, like, just popped out. The way in which he switches between all of the help that she goes to on the day where you see her going out, and it repeats the same joke, with them going, yes sir, no sir, just going back and forth. Like, I really liked how all of that was put together. It's a really good movie, right? Damien?
You want to do this first, Douglas?
No, you can go right ahead. Sounds like me and you are...
Yeah, Andrew's wrong.
Yeah, that he is. I would say, though, in his defense, and not really in his defense, this movie is not as bad as Design for Living. But it is most definitely closer to Design than it is to Shop Around
the Town. It's not as bad, but, I mean, that's a low bar to climb over. Design for Living is...
You're saying, like, they just kind of stepped over it, right?
Yeah.
And I was actually happy that it was better because I was part of me was wondering, oh, maybe because...
Maybe we peaked?
No, I was wondering, oh, maybe as the years went on, he got better at doing this. But no, he just told a bad story in the middle part. And this movie was done before that one. And it's a better movie. But nowhere near as good as Shop Around the Corner. The story in this movie is bad. And... the acting isn't quite... like, something is off about...
I don't mind the acting. I'll tell you why. Because I watch a movie like this, and even Design for Living, and it's not acting that is a problem for me. Because acting does exactly what it needs to do in the sense of this just ridiculous banter, Andrew calls it. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's fine. It's just that that needs to be interwoven inside of a shell that I like. And I can't... come on, we've already spoken about how I need no reasons.
Right? You don't need
I don't need reasons. Like, right. So I don't want to say that it's because it needs a better story or because it needs it wouldn't hurt. But I do love some of the moments, some of the things that Andrew was talking about, where people just interact in a comedic way. And clearly, that is something that this director loves to do. He, as much as there may be some undertones of a serious nature, it's never really a serious movie. And serious issues are never really approached in a serious manner. There's always a ridiculous comedic solution to them. And that's a good thing. If you get that right, it works wonders, which is why Shop Around the Corner is so great. But when it doesn't work, that's when things get tricky.
And now that we've seen three of his movies, you brought up a point last week about strong women in his, specifically in that movie. But when you look at all three of his movies, you see where all of the women are very independent. So maybe it wasn't as crazy that movies were made about strong women then. Maybe something happened, say, in the 50s to nowish, where
people were grabbing certain accoutrements,
right, certain females by
their kittens,
right. right. That's how I interact with women. I grab them by the crotch.
Can we not talk about that?
That man is running for president. We have to talk about that. Right? America is a superpower. They run a lot of shit. And if one of the people likely to run the country says that he grabs women by the crotch, kind of have to talk about that. That's not a thing you've ever heard. You've never heard a man say that. And we live here in this country where misogyny is rampant. And you've never heard a man say that.
I've heard some pretty deep shit, though.
Yeah, you've heard dark, dark heard things.
Deep
cuts. But you've never heard any man. Yeah, man, they'll just let me grab them by the crotch. Like, what?
Oh, he's fantastic.
I actually saw something recently that I'm like, yeah, that's really the problem. Like there's something about that sentence when you hear that clip, right? Grab them by the pussy, right? Mm-hmm. That there's this weird feeling like everybody latches onto the word pussy, right? We're like, no, that's not a problem, right? Mm-hmm. Sure, maybe he shouldn't have used that word, but then again, he's in a little bit of a small private conversation. Right. So sure, using the word pussy, go right the fuck ahead, right? Saying that you grabbed it.
Yeah, it's the grabbing.
That's where the issue really stands.
Think about that. Think about the logistics of doing that. You see a woman, right? Not high. Right? Not a hug. You just slide your hand down.
She's clothed right now, right?
Yeah.
In the scenario.
Right. So either she has a dress on and you're going up and under, or you're sliding your hand down the front of her pants. What?
It is horrific.
Have you seen the video? Because so apparently it's actually a video, not just audio.
Oh, I don't.
And know. I really... news is on all the time, yeah, in the office, so mm-hmm. I saw pieces of it. Apparently at the end of... it's not really a tirade, but mm-hmm. of that repartee, mm-hmm. There is this lady who I guess is another co-star on that mm-hmm. shitty show, who looks super awkward, that is not forced, but... enticed to hug him at the end, and mm-hmm. it does not look like a fun situation.
I interpreted that as like he was having a conversation off in the corner, off in mm-hmm. where about where he mm-hmm. talked about his wonderful anecdote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then he came out to greet the woman, mm-hmm. and then they had that awkward
potentially
moment. So I don't think she was like privy to the horrors.
It could be. I really wasn't paying attention that much.
To then make a judgment, being like, all right, I guess I'll hug this dude. As opposed to just having her only level of awkwardness was a guy saying, you should hug him, and being like, all right, I guess.
If I put that on a shirt, how long before I get punched in the face?
Which part? They'll give me a hug? Or
no. Just grab him by the pussy. on a shirt.
Don't, Damon. Don't do it.
A social experiment.
All right, so we've gone down a deep, dark hole, and I think we need to pull ourselves back up, because we were talking about
mm-hmm.
a movie.
The
that while we thought it was bad, Damien, it was better than what we were talking about a while ago.
Andrew will cut this out.
No political on the pump.
SoundCloud. SoundCloud. This goes to SoundCloud.
Okay.
Germany can get this.
The movie. Wow. Not Russia.
For those of you listening, SoundCloud is a German company.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Aren't they going to be bought by somebody? Like,
I'm sure.
Someone trying to compete with Apple Music is trying to buy everything.
Yeah.
Right. This movie, like what I was saying about the acting, was that it felt like acting. It didn't feel natural. Like they felt like they were being directed off screen.
I know what you mean. Essentially, you're saying this suffers from old movie-itis.
Yes.
Because a lot of movies I had that problem with. Yeah, yeah.
You can feel the director's hand move. Like there's one point... they were talking to each other, and then she like turns to the camera as if she's forgotten where she's supposed to. But you see, don't do
the
that.
The thing about it is, though,
there's no one here.
And for
no
me, again, not that we're not arguing, because we both agree this is not a good movie. But for me, in a movie like this, where the dialogue is like this, where it's just, call it dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I find that refreshing.
Oh no, I like. There's parts of the movie that is okay. It's not a terrible movie.
Yeah,
but like, if you segment the movie, like, there's parts that you can watch and go, yeah, that's entertaining. But as you said, when all of this movie comes together, there's just like, it feels disjointed. It feels weird. Like, it would have helped if they had, like, Act 1 show up on the screen from time to time. Act 1, and you see the meeting and the restaurant and a man violently shaking a woman. And
love that scene is so much. The standout of that movie.
And
not that scene, just that set of images.
Can we just say, simultaneously
robbing each other, which is hilarious.
Yeah, that was good. The ending there, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then... so there's the part at the beginning with it, and there's the part at the end. But in the middle, feels wishy. Like, there's a story about a major and some other guy. And
I like that guy. The guy who plays Francois, Edward Everett Horton. He was also Plunkett in Design for Living.
Yeah.
Really like seeing him in the two movies. I like him.
Yeah, a lot of these parts are great. Those two guys just riffing off of each other,
mm-hmm.
perfect. As you said, anytime I can't remember the names. Gaston and the lady are together, and
the thief lady, Lily,
and they're just stealing from each other, just one up in each. That's hilarious. But
those two scenes are about 20 minutes of an hour and a half movie. Yeah. And the middle part with rich lady, kind of drags.
Not really into the rich lady.
Yeah.
And yeah, she seemed less interesting. Like, her character didn't feel as, like, she just seemed rich. Like, that was, her job was to be, to put on pretty dresses and be rich.
You know what scene was good?
Fui! Fui to you! Fui to you!
But Andrew, yeah,
I was checking the levels as you were fuiing. I'm like, holy shit, did he break it? No, he didn't.
Can I start saying fui to... No, it's too... I can't say fui and shenanigans and some of the other words that I'm planning to
scallywag
say. Scallywag? Yeah. Can't use fui and scallywag. I have to pick
Can up. I just say, three movies in, I think one of Lubitsch's best traits in all of his movies are his introductions. How we meet all of our main players. From the shop around the corner to the scene of, I only had a little liverwurst, I didn't say it was the... Right? To Design for Living having the train scene.
Mm-hmm.
To this movie having Shaking.
Yes. I would say that this is the weakest. The Shaking is spectacular. But outside of that, it wasn't particularly great.
Right, he was
great.
Just talking to the waiter, and he had that one fun line where he told him to...
I don't want to see you.
Yes. He's like, I want to see the moon in the champagne. You don't want to see you. You run along now, little man. But I've enjoyed this marathon so far.
We've enjoyed bad movies. That's the kind of type of bad movie that we should watch.
There's one standout so far, and there's one that I can do without. But this one is fine. Like, I'm not actively looking forward to the end of this marathon. Like the last one, where two movies in, I'm like, this is a shit show.
All right. So next week we'll be back with his 1939 film. Starring Greta Garbo, Ninotchka.
Greta Garbo?